Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. And I hope you have had a great week working on your websites, driving more traffic to your websites. I have been welcoming new members into the Supercharger website membership after a pretty epic 5-day Supercharger website challenge. You might be able to hear slightly worn my voice down, so I'm going to be quite husky in this episode, which I'm sure some of you won't mind. The feedback that I've been getting on this podcast so far has been amazing, and thank you so much if you've been tuning in every week to learn more about driving traffic to your website. Someone gave me the amazing feedback this week that my voice is very calming to listen to. So this one is for you if you're here because you like to hear my voice talking about websites. But you know, please forgive the huskiness. Okay, and in this episode, I'm going to be covering something that we haven't really spoke about in depth that I'm going to try and focus on more in 2021, and that is search engine optimization. It's going to be a big year for Google and for websites in general, because they're going to be doing their experience update late in the spring, which is going to change the way that we optimize our websites for search. So I can't wait to get to that. But for now, in this episode, I'm going to cover a very simple yet effective approach that I use when writing content for my website and my clients' websites that ensures that it's picked up by search engines like Google for the keywords and the key phrases that you want to rank for. So as usual, go and get a cup of tea or coffee, grab a pen and paper so that you can make notes, and I'll see you in a sec. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Welcome to this episode. So aside from explaining exactly what you do and how you help on your website, your website's words, its copy, right, is literally one of the best ways for it to be found on a search engine results page, right? And that is because the way that search engines work is they crawl and literally index like a librarian. They go through and they make a note of all of the words on your web page, all of the words in the hidden bits of the web page, in the code that we can't see, and any other words in the code, in the structure. And it puts that all together to paint a picture of what your web page is all about. Right? And Google, in particular, has made it no secret that well-written copy can result in better rankings. And getting this right means the difference between possibly being on page 100 of, you know, search results or being on page one, right? And we all want to be on page one of search engine results pages because us lazy internet users, we don't tend to go to page two. It's quite comedy, really, how little we click through to page two or three of search engine result pages. So we haven't got time. We want to see what's on page one. And if Google has recommended it on page one out of 10 results, it's probably pretty good, right? So over the years, search marketers in particular and agencies that I've worked at have worked their darndest to ensure that they optimize and play the game within the parameters that they can guess that Google set in order to rank pages of websites as high as they can possibly go. In the old days, this isn't how search engines used to work, right? Google didn't have this immensely complicated, sophisticated AI learning algorithm that it has today. Search engines were very different 20 years ago. If you recall, if you were around then, like I was, it was a matter of how many times a keyword was mentioned. And so there became this culture of keyword stuffing, like putting a keyword onto a web page as often as possible in order to trick the crawler into thinking that this page was really about this particular topic. It's crazy to think that that's how we used to create web pages back then. So you can cast your mind back if you can. If you're an old timer of the internet like I am, that you'd go onto a page about jackets, for example, and the word jacket would be mentioned 100 plus times if it was being optimized for search engines. There used to be black hat methods as well for hiding keywords, like making them white on a white background in order to trick a crawler to think that this page is really about jackets as well. Thankfully, those days are gone, and Google does give out advice and guidance for what we need to do as website owners in order to appear as high up for search engine results as we possibly can. And it all comes down to creating what the user wants. But the question that I seem to still get asked again and again from my clients and from members is, that's great, but what keywords should I use? How many keywords do I need to use when writing content? Like there's some type of magic formula that one needs to follow in order to appear on page one of search results. And it just doesn't work like that. And I think that's an overhang from the old day, right? So what I'm going to do in this episode is just to give you the kind of frank and direct approach that I use when doing keyword research and writing that search friendly content for my website. Right. And if you follow this, you might be thinking that seems too simple. But the truth is that it is a simple process. It's been overcomplicated by search marketers, it's been overcomplicated by the industry. And the truth of it is, that in order to write SEO-friendly content for your website, you need to write content that your user is searching for. It's as simple as that. So first up, right, you do need to go and do a little bit of research. You need to go and see who already is ranking for a particular keyword or a key phrase that you would like to rank for. And just to be clear, right, what a keyword is let's say it's landing page. A key phrase would be a question like, what is the difference between a website and a landing page? And a lot of people I speak to in my membership, a lot of clients and small businesses that I work with often don't understand that you can strive to rank for key phrases, right? You don't have to go for yoga as a key phrase to rank for if you're a yoga instructor. And you don't have to go for cushions if you create cushions and sell cushions on your website, right? But go and do your competitive research for those key words for sure, but then expand it out to key phrases. Because your user, your ideal customer, right, is searching for businesses online in two ways. Right, they're either searching for recommendations, so they are probably putting in yoga instructor near me, but we're also looking for answers to our questions, right? So not just yoga instructor near me, but how do I find a yoga instructor who can work with older women? How can I find a yoga instructor who can work with injuries? People are searching in different ways. Like not just that one hit keyword, right? So you need to go and do competitor research, right? And see who is ranking for those short, sharp keywords, but also go and look for key phrases as well and see who is ranking in the top 10 results for those two different types of searches. And make a note of who appears on those pages, right? And look at the titles of the pages. Look at the meta description, which is a little bit of copy that appears under the title, right? See if there is a pattern that appears between all of the 10 search results. Does the keyword that you want to rank for, does it appear in that title? Does it appear within a phrase that you've never thought of? What's the kind of common thread between each of those 10 results? And while you're there, make a note as well. Are there ads on that page? Is there a Google shopping feed that appears? Go and look at the images and the news. Go and explore the keyword in depth, right? Do your competitor research, right? Because what this will do for you is immerse you into the great and the good, the top 10 websites that are appearing for the search term or keyword or key phrase that you want to be found for. So it seems really simple, but doing that should be a habit that you weave into your kind of online marketing each month. And then spend some time just clicking on those top 10 result pages and going to look at the page that you land on. Right, how is that page structured? Is it easy to read? How often does the keyword appear on there? Make a note of that. Make a note of that because I want you to start studying what's working and comparing it to your own content. And what you'll see with great results in search is a common thread that appears again and again, right? The keyword or key phrase will appear in the title in some way, shape, or form. It will appear in the meta description, which is the short bit of copy that appears under the page title in the search engine result page. Then that keyword will appear at least two or three times on the page. I mean, at least once is perfect, but it should appear a couple of times, but not in that way that I was talking about at the beginning, where it's packed, it's stuffed into the page, right? And read the content on the page. It should be easy to read. Your eye should be drawn to want to read it. The paragraphs should be evenly spaced. There should be like mini headlines splitting each of the kind of the key paragraphs up on the page. When you scan up and down, you should be able to absorb what the content is about without actually reading it. And this is really important, right? And if you can see that this is appearing in the top 10 results, and it will be, you need to be doing that, essentially. Because it's not just about keyword stuffing and reusing that keyword again and again on your web page. It's about the readability of that page, and it's also about the kind of keyword or key phrase that a user is actually searching for. So if they're looking for a recommendation yoga instructor near me, you're going to want to expect to see on that search result page information about how to find that yoga instructor, the services that they offer, and the location. Google is so smart. It knows when you're looking for a recommendation that says near me, it's going to show you results of people who are actually near you geographically. But when you're looking for answers to your questions, right, Google is going to want to see something more meaningful in the content, like questions answered, discussions. And the content that you see on those search result pages are going to be, there was a lot more copy, there's a lot more content. So if you know how your ideal customer is searching for you, and you know the keywords that they're using to find you, Right, you can at least start understanding the kind of content that's appearing at the top and absorb and understand what's working so that you can emulate that on your own website. Right, but you might be listening to this thinking, well, this is all very well, Vicky, but I actually have no idea what keywords I should be ranking for at all. And so that means I don't know what content I need to write on my website. I don't know how to make my website SEO friendly if I don't know what my users are searching for. I feel you, right? It's quite difficult if you're not in tune with who your ideal customer is and how they use search, right? So one of the kind of things that I would 100% recommend that you do is to either get on a Zoom call with your ideal customer and have a chat with them and record it, right? And then ask some questions about what their problem is, right? What's their number one problem in their business right now? And ask them, what does great look like in your business right now? Get them to talk about how you can help them or how you have helped them. Have a conversation, right? Let them do the talking. Just keep prompting them to talk about that problem, how you solve it or how you could solve it. And then after your chat, get that recording transcribed using a tool like rev.com or whatever. And then you can feed that transcript into like free word cloud tools and see what words or questions or phrases come up again and again. When I first started out, just over a couple of years ago now, researching how I could help small businesses learn how to build their own website or how to do their own online marketing, I created a survey and got it out to over 100 small business owners. And they filled it in, I think, using SurveyMonkey. And I was able to export the questions from SurveyMonkey and load them into a word cloud tool. And it's so interesting because the words and the phrases that kind of came up again and again when I was asking people, what's your number one problem right now? What would good look like? So the number one problem was that the phrase was, don't know where to start, didn't know where to start. And it was such a game changer for me because I was able to take that phrase and go and do competitor research and go and search and see who was ranking for don't know where to start building a website, don't know where to start my online marketing, don't know how to create an online marketing plan. I started to think of very slight variations in the questions, in the phrase. And that led me to actually writing blog content to answer that question. If you sell products, you might have a frequently asked questions list of things that your customers always ask you every single time. Chances are they're probably searching for similar questions online as well. Have you ever taken your frequently asked questions and Googled them and actually seen what comes up in those search results? Because whatever's coming up in the top 10 pages, which is a variation of the keyword or key phrase in your frequently asked questions list, your ideal customer is searching for in language that they use. And this is a really important thing to note, right? Is that the reason why you've got to jump on that Zoom call or do that survey is so that you can get them to talk in their own language, because that is how they are searching for businesses like yours, or they're searching for the answer to the problem that your business solves, or searching for recommendations to the products that you sell. They're doing it in their own language. And I should know this, right? I worked in corporate marketing for many, many years. There is a certain way that we used to speak in the B2B world. Lots of blue sky thinking, run it up the flagpole, strategizing peace type phraseology, you know, that was very impressive when you were charging lots of money for it. But actually in the small business world, people were just asking honest questions. I don't know how to start. I feel silly asking questions. What website platform should I pick? How do I know if something's not working? There's real language. I had to really adjust my thinking to dial it into how my now ideal customers talk. You need to do the same as well. And when you do that, when you write content in, or at least the page title content that's going to be picked up by Google, in a language that your ideal customer is using, Google is going to connect you better. Even with the misspellings, even with the bad grammar, right? You need to get over that and really dial into your ideal customer, your user, because that's what Google's doing. Everything that Google does, it aims to delight and please its users. Because if you have a bad search engine result, like you click on the number one for the search term that you put in the top of the page, and the link's broken, or it's a site that's just got so much content you can't read it, or it's really slow and you've had to wait 10 seconds before the site loads, your trust is going to be diminished with Google. You're not going to rely on it to give you such a great response. And so Google works very hard to ensure that everyone it shows at the top of its search engine results pages, you know, they're the cream and the crop. There's content that can be read easily, that relates to the phrase or the keyword that, you know, you inputted, that it's fast, that it's well designed and well laid out. And that's going to be a really big part of the page experience update later on this year. And there's so many factors to consider, and we don't know so many of them, but we do know that if you write in the language that your ideal customer is searching for, you've got more of a chance to be seen by them. And this is great for small businesses, really good news, right? Because if you are doing keyword research and you know that it's a very competitive space for the keyword that you would love to rank for, chances are you could probably, if you thought left field, is rank for a key phrase, a question maybe that your ideal customer is searching for, and not kind of, you know, throw your hat into the ring to an already competitive and kind of overpopulated space for a particular keyword. And then if you do really well ranking for phrases, questions that your ideal customer is actually inputting and putting into Google, then very slowly Google will start to associate you with the kind of the keywords included in those phrases. You can use like tools like Answer the Public to look for the type of questions that users are searching for. Neil Patel's Uber Suggest is a really good keyword research tool as well. And they're both free to a point, like they start charging you after a few uses. I use a tool called ahrefs.com, which is a paid for search tool that enables me to do keyword research of the competition and look after my client sites. But that's a paid tool. And I think if you are aiming to really nail the keyword research for your website, you probably could think about investing in a premium tool just for a couple of months, just to kind of really get on top of what keywords are being searched for, the variations of keywords. Paid tools like this can kind of suggest keywords that you could possibly be using as well. That said, Google also provide you with a free keyword checker tool in their AdWords product. You've got to have an AdWords account in order to access it, but it gives you a chance to see if particular keywords or key phrases have a high search volume. But just to kind of bring it back to the kind of the theme of this episode is, no matter what keywords you decide to pick, right, is create something in the language that your ideal customer is already searching for, and write your content in a way that they can understand. Because if you can write content in a way that can be easily absorbed and read and understood by your ideal customer, then Google will know that it can be read and easily understood by your ideal customer as well, through its analysis of your page structure, of the subheadings that you've used, of the breaks between lines, or of the readability of your sentences as well. The simpler you can make the content absorbed quickly by your ideal customer, the better. And it doesn't matter how long your content is. I get the question quite a lot as to how long should page content be. And the answer is, it doesn't matter. So what? One page has only got 200 words on it. Other pages on your site might have 1,000 or 2,000 words on it. But if you have a page that you would like to rank highly for a particular keyword or key phrase, just be mindful that you need to talk about the keyword and the key phrase on that page, right? So if it's a page that doesn't have words that Google can crawl and index, you might not be giving Google and your ideal customers enough content to really sell yourself, really sell your product and service on that page. But I have seen pages with low copy volume do really well. But you just need to ensure that the right amount of content is on that page to solve the problem for your user, right? Have you answered their question? If you put too much content on a page, that can also have an adverse effect. If it's really hard to read, the user might click off and not scroll down. Google will know that. Google can understand that as well. So try and find the balance between whether you're answering your ideal customer's problem with the content that you have on your page and how much you need to talk on that page as well. If you were sat in a showroom with them, you know, showcasing your product, or sat in a coffee shop talking to them about your service, would you feel the need to keep repeating the same things over and over again? Probably not. So write as much as you need to explain that you can solve their problem on that page. So hopefully this is giving you a bit of confidence to start writing content for your website, whether it's a new website page or whether it's a new product page or a new blog page. The simple trick is just to write content that your ideal customer actually wants in the language that they're searching for. Right? There is no magic formula for how many keywords you need to put on the page, no magic formula for the specific keywords that you need to use. It doesn't matter if you use part of a keyword that's in a total key phrase, as long as you're using the words that your ideal customer is already searching for. Right? And like I outlined in this episode, if you don't know what they're searching for, there's tools that you can go and use to kind of give you some inspiration, right? Because ultimately, this isn't about ranking on page one, number one position of Google. That's not what it's about, right? What it's about is answering the call that your ideal customer has when they start typing into a search engine looking for a business like yours. they don't might not even know that they need you yet, and they're looking for an answer to your question, to a question that they have, but you're going to be there to answer it and show what value you can offer. It's never been about search engine optimization first, customer second. Even where Google's concerned, it's always about writing content that your ideal customer actually wants, right? And what they're actually searching for. And if you can go and do some research and see what's already out there working, it should, and absorb yourself in that, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, that should give you the inspiration to know what you should be doing on your site. And then if you can, just get on an actual chat and find out the language that your ideal customer is using to search for businesses like yours, or using to solve the problems that they have. And then just make sure that you answer that question in your page title, like, because your page title is one of the most important parts of writing content on your website if you want it to be seen by search engines. Because again, the trick is here that there's no trick. It's not being seen by search engines, it's being seen by your ideal customer who is searching for you. So if they have asked a question in their search, in their key phrase when they're searching for you, make sure you answer it in the content that you're giving back to them. Look, I know it seems simple, but when you write honest, regular content in the language that your ideal customer is using to search for you, you know, in a way that they can read as well, you don't overcomplicate the language like I might have done in my kind of post-corporate days. They're going to appreciate you. You're going to connect with them in the written way that little bit more meaningfully. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and it's giving you some inspiration to review your own content and to go out there and do some competitive research. I'd love to know what you think. Please head over to iTunes and go and leave me a review. Every review I get just brings a smile to my face. It's so amazing that anyone takes the time out to come and give some feedback and tell me what you want to hear about in this podcast, because I would love to create episodes that solve your specific problem right now. And coming up, we've got some really interesting content specifically about how to optimize sales pages, what the difference between a great sales page and a bad sales page is on your website, how to optimize your product pages as well. I'm really excited to kind of talk a little bit more salesy next month, and I hope you continue listening. If you want to come and chat or kind of find out more about what's coming up, feel free to head over to Instagram, Hey Vicky Jakes, and DM me. I'm also doing this Clubhouse thing at the moment. Each Friday morning, along with Colette Stevenson, we've been doing quick hit reviews of websites at 10 a.m. every Friday in our own little room on Clubhouse. If you are on Clubhouse already and you're not waiting for an invite, come and follow me. Come and hook up with me and come and chat websites on a Friday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks again so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.